It's good to be saved.
Amen.
It's good to know that you're saved.
Yes, it is.
It's good to have a salvation from a God that loves His people enough that He puts a feeling with that salvation. Church, we are blessed and highly favored tonight to be here. And I want you to pray, and I had this little thought. Just a moment ago, a lot of times when we have our revival meetings, and sometimes there'll be different churches come together, and that's just kind of how we remain. And we'll just be this church and this church and this church, and we'll just be sitting in a building together. But tonight, for whatever remainder of time that we have in this service tonight, let's come together and just be one church. For when God is looking down on us tonight, He doesn't see these or these. He doesn't see this church or that church. But when God is looking on us, He simply sees those that belong to Him and those that don't.
That's right.
And as He looks down and He sees that situation, and He sees those that have not been born again and are not part of His family, then I believe that sets the timber of the service. I believe that's what causes God to start moving in the hearts of His people and spurring us that we might magnify and lift up the Lord Jesus, for He made us a promise, and I mentioned it the other night. Jesus said in His word, He said, "If I be lifted up, I will draw all men unto me." Now, we can sit back and we can make some excuses and say, "I don't have no part in this. I'm not a preacher. Or I'm not one that might sing, or I can't play an instrument. So there's really nothing left for me to do." I beg to differ. There is something for every born-again child of God to do in this service tonight that would help that lost person, that lost soul, that unsaved soul that's here. Well, preacher, how do you know that? God doesn't keep His men in the dark. Now, I know that I can't really read hearts, but God lets us see countenances. And I've seen some troubled countenances this week when I've been standing up. And I thought about that. We're going to read in just a second. But I thought about this today as we were meditating and thinking about the service and how that, lost friend, I want you to understand this. It's not us against you, but it's us for you. For everybody, listen to me now, everybody that is sitting in this church house tonight that has been saved and knows that without a shadow of a doubt, they have stood on the very same ground you're standing on right now. But the difference is that we know the difference that the Lord Jesus can make in the matter. And we're not against you, but we're for you because we want you to know Jesus like we know Jesus. So I want you to pray. Now, see, preachers, we flesh and blood. And sometimes we want to get a little bit in a hurry, and, you know, we worried about the service dragging, and we want to move things along. But church, if you will tonight, let's don't worry about it being Wednesday night and the revival might end. I don't know what, to this point, I don't know what God wants from us just yet. Russell and I and Grayson haven't talked about it. But if it should end, let's don't worry about that right now. Amen. We'll get to that in a little while. But church, if you would please, just pray for me. And I want to take my time with the Word of God tonight. And I want to fully yield myself over into the hand of God. And I want to get into that place where the man of God needs to get every time that he stands. So that in your eyes tonight, I decrease. And you don't see me, but you see Jesus. That's my desire tonight. Now, I want to say this, and I want to thank God tonight openly in front of all of y'all. I don't get to be in church with my family a whole lot. I'm pastoring a church, and my kids are members at other churches. But thank God tonight we're all here in the house of God together. And I don't take that for granted. I love to be in church with my family. And I thank God for that tonight. So now let's go to the Word of God. Take your Bibles and turn to the book of Mark. To the 10th chapter. And then put your finger or a bookmark in the 5th chapter. In the 10th chapter of St. Mark's Gospel, let's look at verse number 27. And Jesus, looking upon them, saith, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Now, I want you to remember that tonight. If you want to follow along, I don't know if we'll do much reading tonight, but we're going to go back into the 5th chapter of the same book. And we're going to see a situation of where that there was some impossibility with man. But when Jesus passed by, He took that was impossible in man's eyes and made it possible. Amen. And tonight you might be here and you might identify with these two people that we're going to look at tonight, that God has put this scripture on our hearts. But I want you to know, if you hear nothing else tonight, I want you to hear this. What the Lord done for these, He will do for you. Amen. But now we're going to see that there were certain conditions that some of these couple of people, they had to meet. And just tonight, you're going to have to meet some conditions. God's not going to force Himself on you. Listen, you might be here tonight and you might be brokenhearted. You know you're saved. You might be brokenhearted. You might be going through struggles. Listen, you've got to meet some certain conditions. If you're here tonight and you're lost, you've got to meet certain conditions. But God can take that impossibility that you're looking at in your life and make it possible. And we read in the fifth chapter of Mark about a man. The Bible said he was a ruler of the synagogue. And his name was Jairus. And I want us to understand tonight that he was a religious man. There were a lot of people looking at him, and he probably had a lot of maybe clout in the community, and maybe he had a lot of authority in the synagogue. He was a ruler of the synagogue. But listen, the Bible said that his 12-year-old daughter was sick unto death. She was laying at home, and there he forgot all the religion stuff that he had grown up with, and he remembered hearing about a man named Jesus. So we read here, we see that as Jesus, after he had left the gatherings and was headed into the city, Jairus went looking for him. And there he found him. And he didn't beat his chest and say, "Jesus, I'm a ruler in the synagogue. Jesus, I'm this or that. Jesus, look at how great of a man I am." But he said this. He said, "Master, my daughter is dying and I need your help. I know you can take this impossibility and make it possible." You go read the scripture. We're not going to be able to read it and get all into it, but Jesus followed him on his way. And there was a bunch of people began to crowd around the Lord for what he had done already with a man over there in the graveyard there. And now he's going to Jairus. See, this was something to see a religious man talking to Jesus. And let me stop right here. You might be one and you might be struggling. You know the Lord, but you might have issues in your life. Hey, you might have backslidden. Listen, forget about all of the religious stuff that we hear and just look to Jesus. But as they was going, not only was there one in man's eyes impossibility, here was a man, ruler of the synagogue. His daughter was laying at the point of death, sick unto death, about to die at any moment. All these people around him, but here come a woman. The Bible said that she had been sick or had this issue of blood, this sickness, this issue there for 12 years, and had tried all the doctors and suffered many things from them, but the Bible said, but she rather grew worse. But when she heard about Jesus, I thought about this. I believe tonight that somebody at Silver City Baptist Church has got an issue of blood. Well, preacher, what do you mean by that? You don't have the blood of Jesus flowing through your veins.
Amen.
But she heard about Jesus. And she must have thought that her situation was impossible. Spent every dime that she had. Had nothing else. There's no hope. I'm at the end of my way, she must have thought. I have nothing else for me to do. I'm going to die like this. But she heard about Jesus, and the Bible says that she went to him with this thought. She said, if I could just touch the hem of his garment, I know I'll be made whole. That's a working of faith. The Bible says it's by grace through faith are you saved. Lost friend tonight, you're going to have to trust on the grace of God and step out on faith. Now, I said the other night, I'm not a preacher that thinks people can only be saved in an altar. It's a good place to get saved. But I believe folk can get saved wherever God is leading them to. I've seen people get saved between the benches. But listen, you have to take that step of faith and trust in the grace of God. That's Bible. That's not from the book of Chris, but it's the Bible. But this lady tried everything. And she had heard of Jesus. And she began to work her way from behind through all that crowd of people. I don't know how many times that we've been in the church house and lost people have let the congregation, let the devil, I should say, put in their mind the congregation being an obstacle for. Listen, I'm stepping out on a limb tonight, but I believe I'm safe in doing it. Every saved person here wants you to be saved just like them.
Amen.
There's nobody going to judge you.
No.
There's nobody going to point their fingers and laugh at you. There's nobody going to talk about you being in the condition. Hey, you might have even tried to act like you're all right with God. And you might have everybody here fooled, but you ain't got God fooled. But even that, they're not going to point their fingers and say, well, I thought you... They're not going to say that. They just want to know that you're right with God.
Amen.
But she made her way. She was willing to put forth that effort. That impossibility in her life. As the old saying is, she got between a rock and a hard place. I hope tonight, lost friend, that you are sitting right in that same situation. You're between the rock and that hard place. And hopefully before we leave tonight, you'll see that you need to fall on the rock.
Yeah.
And be broken. Don't wait and let the rock fall on you because you'll be ground to powder.
That's right.
Impossible. And I thought about this. I thought about how many times she'd went to see all them doctors and they looked at her and said, listen, there ain't nothing we can do for you. You're going to die. She'd go to the next and can't do nothing for you. I've tried everything that I know. You're just going to die. Hearing that over and over and over and just impossibility with man. It's impossible. You're just not going to be healed. But I'm thankful tonight that Jesus likes to work with the impossible. When I was lost, It was an impossible case. I thought it was impossible. I did. I'm never going to get out of this situation. It's what I thought. But that night in October, that Sunday night in October, in the bedroom at Mom and Dad's house, and I laid there, and I began to cry on the name of God, and He was stirring in my heart. And what He was doing, really, He was showing me that He wanted to take that I thought was impossible, and He wanted to make it a possibility in my life. And guess what? He did. I've been saved ever since. But she got up there. Now, I want you to get this picture in your heart and mind. I can see this little lady. I can see her being weak because of the sickness that she had. And I can see fighting through all those people. And how it was just taking every ounce of strength that you had. And listen, this is just me now, but I see her. I get to the point to where she got on her knees and had to crawl a little bit. Hey, listen, it's not a bad thing to fall on your knees, because when you get there, God will show you how to stand.
Amen. Amen.
But she's trying to get there. And I could just see her just reaching, just stretching out, just a little farther. I just got to go a little farther. I'm not going to give up. Listen, that's a troubling thing when you see folk come to the altar church and they pray and they toil and they pray. And whatever their hindrance is, they won't work through. They just give up. That's awful, ain't it, preachers? If God, listen, I'm going to say it again. Somebody might not have been here the other night when I said this. We have some folk from Union Hill tonight, and I'm glad they came, and they hear me say this all the time. If God is convicting, He's going to draw. And if God is drawing, He will save. I don't care how hard men is trying, they're not going to break that chain of reaction. Listen, there ain't enough of devils in hell that can break that chain of reaction if that lost soul would just hang on and work out their own salvation. Amen. We'll see that in a minute. It's here in this scripture. This lady was willing to fight through the impossibility to get to Jesus because she had heard enough to realize that He could change that impossibility into a possibility. That impossibility into a possibility. And she reached out and touched His clothes. And immediately the Lord stopped and said this, said, "Who touched me?" Because he had felt the work. The Bible said he felt the virtue go out of him. That's what Jesus does. He wants to send out. He wasn't asking who touched me to scold somebody. Listen, he already knew this was. Listen, he knew that she was going to come before she even got there. I kind of sort of think he was just kind of lingering a little bit, letting her catch up. You might be down in this altar and you might be praying and it might seem like you're having to fight, fight, fight. But I'll tell you, if the Lord's dealing with you, He'll linger. He'll give you time to catch up. But He said, "Who touched me?" And the disciples said unto Him, said, why are you asking? Look at all these people and you ask who touched you. But verse 33 says of the woman, said the woman fearing and trembling. The woman fearing and trembling Paul wrote, said, let every man work out his own salvation with fear and trembling. But not only did she get healed of the issue of blood that she had that sickness, but she's fixed to get a little extra. Fearing and trembling, knowing what was done in her, she came and fell down before him and told him all the truth. That's what you've got to do tonight. You just come and talk to God. Talk to the Lord Jesus about that impossibility that you got. Put him to the test. Put him to the test. Let him show you what he can do with a situation that you, listen, now, Jesus is right for whatever is wrong in your life, no matter what it is. And after she began to tell him everything, he said this to her. He said, daughter, thy faith hath made thee whole. Go in peace and be whole of thy plague. I don't think he was talking about the issue of blood right there when he said thy plague. I don't think that's what he's talking about. But I think he added to her faith. I believe he made her right. All that stuff, that religious stuff that she had grown up hearing, he took that away. She had faith in him. Just him. She believed. She was saved. If you'd have it. But now listen, there's still another impossibility here. We talk about two of them. Now this no longer had ended to what there's some folks coming and running to talk to Jairus about his daughter, said, Master, don't bother the Lord. Don't bother the Master, for your daughter is dead. Don't trouble him. You just accept your losses. Come on back to the house, and we'll mourn, and we'll put her in the grave, and then we'll go on with her life. But Jesus said, she's not dead, but sleepeth. But he told him this first. We skip this part. He said, be not afraid, only believe. Isn't that really what we need to take? I don't understand. Now, this is for everybody, saved and lost. I don't understand why we're so fearful to trust in the Lord with what we have deemed impossible in our lives. Church folk, bad about that. Listen, lost friend tonight, I want you to understand the Lord knows where you're standing. He knows how bad you're hurting. He knows that war that's going on inside of your soul, and He wants to rectify that. Let me say this. When I was pastoring Solid Rock in Cleveland, I was sitting on the front bench one Sunday morning, and they come up to begin the song service, and Earl Holman went over to get his bass guitar out of the case, and he had it sitting up on the bench, and he opened that thing up, and it caught my attention. And God spoke to me just as clear as He ever has, and He said, there's nothing else that'll fit in that case but that guitar, that bass guitar. Said you could put a banjo in there, but it won't fit. You could put another guitar in there. It's not going to fit because that case was made for that guitar. And he said, that's the way it is in every heart of man. we try to put stuff in there from the world. We try to put stuff in that place in our heart that was created from the time of Adam. And we try to stick all manner of things in there, but there's only one thing or one person that'll fit in that void in our heart, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ.
Amen.
But a lot of folks go through life. They try to stick drugs, alcohol, all manner of evil things, all manner of sinful things, trying to get searching and hoping that that stuff will give them exactly what the Lord wants to give them. The joy, the peace, and the happiness of life. But let's get back to our impossibility. Can you imagine how this daddy felt? All of a sudden, being ruler of the synagogue wasn't all that important anymore, was it? All of a sudden, being of the highest standing in the community wasn't that important anymore. Why? Because he had just been told, and surely he was going to try to do everything he could there to get help for his daughter, and he done got word that she had died. And here Jesus said, "Be not afraid, but believe." Here's another action of faith. He had to have faith and believe in what Jesus could do. So they made their way to his house. "What are you doing here?" He says, "Why?" The Lord said, "Why are you making all this ado? Why are you doing all this commotion?" Said, "The damsel, she's not dead, she's just asleep." And they laughed at him. The Bible said laughed him to scorn. But he run him out of the house. We're going to have to believe, church. If we want to see things done in our life, if we want to see lost people saved, then we're going to have to believe. We're going to have to believe. Now we're getting down to the end. I appreciate y'all hanging with me. But just him, I believe it was two of the disciples. Not all of them went, just two of them. And a little lady's mom and dad went into that bedroom. Now I want you to remember what we're talking about now. The impossibilities that we see. You might be sitting here thinking it is impossible for me to be saved. It is impossible. That's just maybe something that you cannot listen to what the Word of God says. So the Lord walked up to her, took her hand, and said, "Damsel, arise." And she got up. That seems so simple, don't it? You know what the easiest thing I've ever done in my life was? The easiest thing that I ever done in my life was that very moment that I just yielded my heart to the Lord. I thought it was so hard. I thought it was an impossible task. But boy, I took that step of faith toward him and said, "Here it is, Lord." It was the easiest thing I ever done.
Amen.
And I said these exact words to myself that night after the Lord saved me. "Why didn't I do this sooner?" You might be sitting here tonight and saying it's impossible with the things going on in my life. Try Jesus. You might be saying it's impossible. I've done this and I've done that, and the Lord won't save me. He, listen, the Bible said, while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. The Lord, I believe this with all my heart, when He was on the cross, He'd seen us in our worst and nastiest sinful lost condition. Lost friend, I want you to hear me tonight. We're fixing to celebrate Easter as God's people, and what a wonderful time that is. But we talk about those three nails and how they held Jesus on. Them three nails didn't hold Him on the cross. Well, preacher, what did? Go look in the mirror. You'll see what held Jesus on the cross. I believe He saw each one of our faces. He said, I'm staying here for that one. I'm staying here for that one. There's going to be a 15-year-old boy in Rabbit Town, Georgia, that's going to need to be saved on a second Sunday night in October, there in 1985, I believe it was. Listen, he saw me and he stayed there for me. I take it personally. Salvation is a personal thing between me and the Lord. And guess what, lost friend? It's the same way for you. But I was the glue that held Jesus there. He went all the way for me. Well, preacher, you boasting. No, I can't speak for you. Brother Russell, you can say the same thing for yourself, but I can't say it for you. Lost friend, if you come to wherever the Lord wants you, if you come up here, as the Lord's drawing and dealing, moving on your heart, the Lord saves you tonight like He wants to. And here, listen, here's something else. Y'all come on with a song. I'm going to end this thing up. Here's something else that we're bad to say as God's people. Lord, if it's Your will, save them. Read the Bible, folks. It says it's not the will of God that any should perish, but all come to repentance. We already know it's His will. Then we just got to fill up the empty places in the hedge and pray and let them see Jesus high and lifted up. Sometimes there might be some stuff that Satan is putting before them that we got to be the garbage collectors and get that stuff out of the way so they can make their way. Y'all may sing this song here. I don't know, but there is a song. It talks about that little boy. Got lost. And a man came by and said, son, can I help you? I want to help you get to, you know, I don't know where my house is. Well, how am I going to get you there? Well, I know this, mister. Near my house, there's a church. That church has a cross. He said, if you can get me to the cross, I can find my way home. That's what we got to do tonight, church. We got to get them to the cross. Then they can find their way home from there.
Amen.
Well, preacher, what does that mean? That simply means do what the Lord's asked you to do tonight. Move according to the will of God. If you have an impossibility in your life tonight as these men step out, I'm not inviting you. I'm not, but the Lord is inviting you to come to Him. He's already been speaking to you. I really believe that. He wants to help you with that impossibility. He wants to make it into a possibility. But you're going to have to move. None of this would ever happen in these two people's lives if they hadn't have had a moment where they said, I'm going to Jesus. I believe it.
I do too.
I believe it.
Yes, sir.
I'm going to Jesus. And they headed to where He was. It's what you got to do tonight. You know how the Lord's dealt? Church, you know how the Lord's moving on your heart, Brother Russell, Grayson, y'all step out. Go ahead and sing your song.